Well, good morning. My name is Keith. I'm the missions pastor here at First Baptist, and it's an honor to share with you today some of God's Word. We're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 1 through 19. We're actually today supposed to look at 1 Chronicles chapters 11 and 12, and so I want to kind of talk you through that, but we're going to camp out on the first 19 verses of chapter 11. And as Pastor Chris has said in the last couple of weeks, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, written by Ezra, also known as the Chronicler. It's a repeat of some information that's mentioned actually in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, so they're kind of referring back to it. A lot of times what we do when we study the Word and we get to these two chapters, or actually these two books, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, a lot of times what we do is we kind of push it off to the side and go to another book of the Bible because of all the genealogy and all the names. And, you know, so I'm thankful that Chris is like, you know what? We're not going to skip out. We're not going to skip that. We're going to dive into it and look at it. And so I'm very grateful for that. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, David is appointed king, and it's the will of God. Samuel anointed David a decade earlier, so chapters 1 through 3 mentions that. Verses 1 through 3 mention that. Verses 4 through 9, David conquers Jebus, which is Jerusalem. Verses 10 through 47, David's mighty men, which we're going to talk about today, his mighty men, they called them the elite. They called them the super elite soldiers or the warriors. They were incredible men. That's chapter 11. Chapter 12, 1 through 22, David's fighting force, it grows. It grows. Their allegiance and loyalty was to David and to God and their country. Verses 23 through 40 of chapter 12, Israel gathers together to make David king. So those are the two chapters, just kind of a summary of those two chapters. Again, we're going to camp out 1 Chronicles 11, 1 1 through 19. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I got to go to South Arkansas. My older brother Steve, just retired. He retired as an Arkansas game warden. Now, how many of you have met a game warden before? Raise your hands. All right, keep your hand up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up if it was a good experience. I'm looking. Rick, your hands up. All right. All right, put your hands down. Put your hands up if it's a bad experience. No, no, don't do that. He's a game warden. Was a game warden. He retired after many years of serving the Arkansas Game and Fish. He was really good at it. At his retirement party, my mom and I walk in, and there's probably 30 game wardens wearing their uniforms, just like you see on the screen. And, man, it was pretty cool to see. I feel kind of honored to be in their presence. They do a lot more than maybe some of us in this room even know of. They're really incredible people. They shared a lot of stories about my brother and thanked him for all he did. They gave him a couple of gifts. They gave him some certificates. They actually presented him with his gun that he's been using all the years or he's had with him. It's a Game and Fish Commission gun. They presented that to him as a gift as well. And it was really a nice retirement party reception. They had great food. Is a great experience. We were taking pictures at the end, and I took this picture here that you see on the screen. My brother is the short guy wearing the plaid shirt. The other game wardens that are with him, most of them had to spend 12 weeks with my brother. So one at a time, they spent 12 weeks with my brother in training. And they're looking for certain qualities in order for them to officially be ready to be on the job after 12 weeks of shadowing with my brother. All kinds of qualities, like perseverance. They have to be observant. They have to be patient, confidential, good work ethic, endurance. I mean, there's just a long list of qualities that they're looking for. And so most of the people in this picture came to a point where my brother said, "Great job. You're ready now to be on your own. And you're ready to serve based on the qualities that you have and based on me seeing you live out those qualities." And then my brother would go to his supervisor and say, Hey, they're ready to be used. You know, the scripture we're going to look at today, we're going to talk about the mighty men that served with David, and they were loyal to David. And they had qualities that you and I should also have. In fact, David's mighty men, some people call them the warriors, they were all united together. They were united together. They were loyal to David, loyal to God, loyal to their country. Because of their qualities and because they all lived these out together. A lot of unity as they moved forward to support David and to help rebuild. And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at what are the qualities that God looks for in those he uses. Would you stand with me? And we're going to attempt to read some of these crazy names. I actually went online. You can actually go online and type in a name and how to pronounce that, and they bring up, some of them are videos. You can actually press play, and there'll be a live person saying, this is how you say this name. So I want you to know, Charlie, I did that, and I've studied these names. I'm still going to get them wrong. We'll try it here, all right? Let's read the scriptures. Then all Israel gathered together to David at Hebron and said, behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, even when Saul was king, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall be my shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over my people Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Verse 4. And David and all the Israel went to Jerusalem. That is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. The inhabitants of Jebus said to David, you will not come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. David said, whoever strikes the Jebusites first shall be chief and commander. And Joab and the son of Zeruiah went up first, so he became chief. And David lived in the stronghold, therefore it was called the city of David. And he built the city all around them from Milo in complete circuit. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Verse 10. Now these are the chiefs of David's mighty men who gave him strong support in his kingdom together with all of Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. This is an account of David's mighty men, Jashobeam and Hotamite was chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 300 whom he killed at one time. Verse 12, and next to him among the three mighty men was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, and Ahohite, and was the David of Pasadim, or Pasadenim. When the Philistines were gathered there for the battle, there was a plot of ground full of barley, and the men fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and killed the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great victory. Verse 15. Three of the 30 men went down to the rock to David at the city of Adullam. When the army of the Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rephaim, David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David said longingly, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. He's like, can you give me some water? He's remembering about his childhood and the water there. He's like, I need some water. Verse 18, then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. therefore he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. This is the word of the Lord. Wow, we made it through it. I think we did. Was it all right, Darby, the names? Man, let's camp out on this real quick. We're going to talk about his mighty men. Again, these guys were loyal to David. They were united together in their qualities and what they believed in and in their purpose. And I want us to look at the qualities that they had. Here's the first one. Hope you're taking notes today. Here's the first one. First one is this: they believed God. If you look in verse 2 and 3, it says, God said, David will be shepherd and prince. Elders went to the king at Hebron and made a covenant. They were putting into action of what was happening. Verse 3, they anointed David king of Israel. These mighty men took God at his word. They believed. They didn't question, well, will God come through and make David king? They didn't say, well, he might. Well, I hope he does. No, they believed that he would carry out his plan and his purpose. They believed. They took his word for it. No questions asked. Rick, I talked to you before the service, and I said, I'm going to show you a picture that's going to cause you to go, oh, no, she's all grown up, and here's the picture. I want to show you a picture of my daughter, who's now in college. She's going to Pittsburgh State University in Kansas, and when she was young, I would love to take her fishing, and she actually enjoyed fishing. Terry, it was an awesome experience. We would go fishing. She can fish circles around my two boys. I mean, she's really good fishing, all right? But we would go fishing in the heat of the day in the summertime, and it was like hot day. You know, when it's like at midnight and it's like still 90 degrees, you know those days we have in July and August? It was hot. It was one of those type of days. And so we went in the morning and stayed most of the day. And we fished, we caught fish, we laughed, we had a good time. She got sunburned, I got sunburned. I know I should have been a better father and provided some sunblock, but I didn't. I was too excited about going fishing. And so we got home, did some stuff. You know, then it's bedtime, right? And Addie is sunburned. She's not feeling good. She's extremely tired. She's extremely tired. And I'm helping put her to bed, saying goodnight to her. Daddy, I want to go fishing tomorrow. I want to go fishing so bad tomorrow. That was so much fun. I want to go fishing tomorrow. And I'm like, there's no way. You're sunburned. I'm sunburned. It's going to be extremely hot tomorrow. I've got to mow the grass. And I'm like, we can't go tomorrow because of all these reasons. She didn't care. I want to go fishing tomorrow. Daddy, I really want to go fishing tomorrow. She was so tired that she was moving her legs and her arms as she was in bed just to stay awake. You ever been that way before? You're just trying to stay awake. You either shake your leg or you walk around. She was so tired, and I thought, I've got to get this girl to sleep. So I finally just gave in and said, I'll take you fishing in the morning. Good night. And I kissed her good night, and I left. And I mean, within minutes, she was out. Well, the next morning, early, I get up, let the dogs out, and I'm walking down the hallway, and there stands Addie, fully dressed. She has a hat on. She has a bag of snacks. She's ready to go fishing. I'm looking at her like, Addie, what are you doing? Like, it's early in the morning. Like, what are you doing? Daddy, I'm ready to go fishing. You said last night you were going to take me fishing. And in my mind, I'm like, I was just trying to get you to go to bed, go to sleep. Daddy, you said you'd take me fishing. It was in that moment that God used her in my life. A little girl. She was acting on the promise that was made to her. Her actions were based on the promise that was given to her. She didn't care about the sunburn. She didn't care it was going to be 120 degrees that day. She didn't care that she was still going to be tired. She didn't care that the grass needed to be mowed and Dad had stuff to do. She heard a promise from her father. She believed it. She was ready to go fishing. And these men believed God. Do you believe in God's promises? and his strength that he provides. Do you question it? Man, what a great quality to have. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Wow. What a great quality. Qualities God looks for in those he uses. Here's the second quality. These mighty men, these guys that were supporting David and their country, they trusted God. They trusted him. Verse 11, I'm going to try to say this right. Joshua Beam, he killed 300 men, and he killed them all by himself. He was protecting, right? Verses 12 through 14, Eleazar slaughtered the Philistine army in a barley field. They said that he used his sword so much in that fight that his hand was attached to the sword and would never come off. Verse 15 through 19, three mighty men broke through the Philistine camp to get David some water. David was remembering his childhood, remembering the water in the area, and he just wanted some water. So these guys went through the Philistine army, got some water, went back through them again, and got the water to David. Not easy to do. Then they risked their lives just by getting water, just providing something for their leader. Man, these men did some really difficult things. Think about that. 300 men, took care of them by himself, slaughtered a Philistine army, broke through the Philistine camp to get water for their... Think about what went into that, the hard work, the danger that went into that. And as they lived that out, as they protected and fought, they trusted God would take care of them. They trusted him. You know, you and I face a lot of different things that cause us to have to trust that God's looking out for us, that God's going to provide. But there are times, if you're like me, that we probably don't trust the way that we should, which can cause us to worry and even sometimes have questions and even some doubt. Questions like, God, are you for sure? Question like, God, I don't think this is very convenient, is it? Questions like, are you sure? Man, this, are you sure you want me to go through this? All kinds of questions. Not trusting the way we should can lead to worry and doubt. It happens, right? So what should we do in times like that? Here's some quick things. Number one, and I needed to hear this one. Number one, know that it's not about you. It's about how God can use you in that situation in the life of others that could be coming your way. It's about glorifying him. Next one, spend time in the scriptures. The scriptures can encourage you, help you. Read God's promises. Read about his strength. Read about even his miracles. What should we do if we struggle with trusting God? Share your thoughts with God and with others. And just talk with God. God, I know I'm going through this situation. I know this is a tough deal. And God, I'm just kind of concerned about this. I don't know. Why are you, just share your thoughts with him. He knows them. Have a conversation with him and have a conversation with those who you trust, friends, family, that are believers in Christ. Share with them. Let them encourage you. And then next, remember the times, reflect back on the times where Jesus was there. That's what David did when he was fighting Goliath. He's like, hey, I'm not afraid of you. Because I can look back and see how God delivered me from a lion and God delivered me from this and that. He was reflecting back on some situations that God helped him through, provided strength, provided a way. Last year, Amy and I got to go to a concert at John Brown University, and Zach Williams is his name. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Zach Williams, all right? If you haven't, you're going to be introduced to him today, not in person, but I tell you what, I respect him. I respect his ministry and his music. He's so good. I hope every person in this room will go home and download his stuff and just listen to it. It's amazing. But we went to this concert, and I heard a song at the concert that was pretty awesome to me. And as I was studying and preparing this message, I just kept listening to this song over and over again, especially on point two. Andrew Wade and I went to the border just to kind of get things ready for the mission trip next week. We went Friday and Saturday, and so we're on the airplane, and I'm taking advantage of that time to just to continue to study. And I began listening to that song, thinking, is this going to fit point two, you know? And I'm kind of listening to the song, and I put it on repeat, and I keep listening to this song, and I'm in the middle seat, and there's a guy over here and a guy over here. Andrew's on the other side, and I have my AirPods in. I'm listening to this song, and Chelsea, I am bawling. Because as I'm listening to this song about Jesus being there, I began to think about people in this church that I know personally who have gone through some tough times. Their faces came to my mind. Somebody that's had trouble with their career, having to start over again. It's not been easy. People in our church that have lost loved ones, tragedy through tragedy. Marriages that have struggled. Tough relationships. All kinds of things. But those faces and those names came to my mind and my heart, and I just kept thinking, God's provided for those people. And now God's using them in the life of others. And I just couldn't help to think about the trust these people had in their God during their tough time. Easier said than done, I know. But at the end of the day, they truly trusted God through their tough time. And so what I would like to do is I want to read the lyrics to this song. Then I want you to hear the song. I want to play it for you. Is it all right? It's called There Was Jesus. Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, and there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, and in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I have been and where I am going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. Man, I love that. So I want you to hear the song. It's about three minutes long. So I want you just to listen to the song, let it speak to you, then we'll come back and finish up with point number three. All right? Listen to this song.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stay and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. shadows of the alleys.
There was Jesus.
Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your straight, make your path straight. Love that scripture. I love that song. Number 3, we're almost done. We're looking at the qualities these men had, and God chooses to use them because of the qualities they had in their life. Number 3 is this: these men put others first. In verse 20 through 21, Abishai, the brother of Joab, fought 300 men by himself. Verses 22 through 23, we didn't make it to the scriptures, but verse 22 and 23, Benaiah killed 2 heroes from Moab. He went and sought out a lion on his own in the snow and killed the lion, and then also a 7.5-foot Egyptian, and he used that guy's own spear to fight him off. These men didn't do that to bring glory to themselves. These men didn't do all of these things to show off. All the men we listed today and the problems and the things that they went through, they did it for David, Israel, and God's glory. It had nothing to do with themselves. And I'm so thankful for their example to us today. They put others first. I thought of some ways that you and I could put others first when we have those opportunities. Number 1, acknowledge. Just acknowledge your selfishness. We all have it at times. Number 2, consider what others are going through. We never know what people are going through. We got to consider that. Assume the good of others. Give glory to others. Not any glory to ourselves, but give glories to others. That's what these men did for David, for their country, and for God. The next one's easier said than done. How can we love others? How can we put others first? Just forgive. Just forgive. And the last one, it seems so simple, but it's so powerful, and it's just listen. Just listen to people. Listen to their heart through their voices. Slow down. Be available. Those are some ways we can put others first. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. And I am so thankful that the 3 women that you've never met and the 3 women I have never met have all of these qualities we looked at today. They believed, they trusted, and they put others first. And I want to introduce you to them. If you would take this card in your seat, Take this card. There's one in every other seat. And it shows the logo there with the three ladies on it. If you grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, you're probably familiar with these three. If you didn't, we're introducing you to these three today. These are heroes of the faith. Edna McMillan was a missionary in Oklahoma. That's what God called her to, Oklahoma. Annie Armstrong was a missionary called to North America. That was her area that God called her to. And then Lottie Moon was international. These are heroes of the faith. These are people who have paved the pathway, along with all those mentioned in the scriptures, to allow us to do ministry and missions the way we do today all across the world. And every year, we give you as a church an opportunity to give to the World Missions Offering. World Missions means these three endeavors. Each one of these ladies have an endeavor that we give money to. It's local ministry, regional ministry, and then far away. For an example, Edna, the money that we give to her, it helps with new church plants here in Oklahoma. Helps with our disaster relief ministry, which many men and women in our church do that. It also helps spreading the gospel to unreached Native American people groups. And then Annie Armstrong, her endeavor. The money there goes to share the gospel in the United States and Canada. It supports ministry like the Baptist Collegiate Ministry that are on most campuses across the country in colleges. And then Lottie Moon, it helps support full-time missionaries all over the world. And we partner with some of those. So I want to let you know that you have an opportunity throughout this whole year, not just today, not just the month of March, but you have an opportunity through the whole year. At any point you want to give, you can give at any point to the World Missions Offering, which includes these three, and we split it up three different ways. You can see the percentages on there. You can do that by designating it to World Missions Offering, or you can do that and also give it into the box, and then you can also do that online. But you have that opportunity. I'm thankful for these three women having all these qualities, and I thought of them when I thought about these qualities, especially number three, they put others first. I'm so thankful for them. Nathan, go ahead and come on up as we come to an end. I want to ask you a question. We talked about these mighty men that were loyal to David. They were unified together because of their qualities and their purpose and their goals that they were carrying out. Question I have for you, if you had to pick one of these three qualities that needs more attention in your own life, maybe you need to talk to God a little bit more about this quality. Maybe you need to live it out a little bit more than you have for whatever reason. Which quality would it be? If you just had to pick one, would it be just the believing, taking for his word? Just believing. Believe that he'll provide. Believe in his plan, his will. That's what these guys did. Or would it be the second quality? Just trusting him. We're going to have questions. We're going to have questions. But just at the end of the day, we're fully trusting him during that tough time. And the last one would be putting others first. Which one of those qualities would be the one you need to focus on?